And so real relationships. And this morning, as we wrap up this series, I'm privileged to have my best friend for the last 37 years and my wife for the last 35 years is going to join me this morning. So would you give a big welcome, a warm welcome to Janice as she's going to come up. And we're going to tag team this today. We're going to do this together. And before we get into this, we're going to be talking about our relationship this morning, but we want to just start by saying a couple of things. First of all, we understand that not everybody is married and not everybody's supposed to be married. Some of you are single, and we never want to, at Bethel Church, elevate the status of a married person over a single person because it's all the same to God. Amen? And we all have different callings upon our life. So I think sometimes in church we kind of treat single people as people that are trying to get married. And maybe you are, but that's not true of every person. We also want to just say before we get into this morning that we understand that some of you, you've had really challenging times in your past, maybe in the marriage that you're in right now, or maybe a previous marriage, and we certainly don't want to bring condemnation or shame on anybody today. We think about that passage of scripture where Paul wrote, forgetting what is behind, I press on toward the goal that Christ has called me to. So this morning, we understand we can't go back and we can't change our past. But with God's help, we can press on to a greater future. Amen? So we don't want to just create any more guilt or shame or heartache than anybody has experienced here this morning. So we're going to be talking about real relationships this morning. We're going to be talking about real marriage.
Yes. All right. And my mic's going to come on any minute.
Okay.
There you go.
Good morning. So this is not necessarily a comfortable spot to be in. But it's also something that both Tim and I are very passionate about, is marriages that are built on the foundation of God's word, and that every marriage can be a great marriage with God's help. Our story that we're going to share this morning is just that. It's our story. And all of our stories are a little bit different, and that's a good thing. But we can all learn from each other when we are open and share. And so the challenge this morning was being appropriately transparent, right? And haven't you found that the times that you're most refined is when things aren't exactly pretty? And so some of the things we're going to share this morning, we're not going to share anything that you're going to be embarrassed about or that we're going to be embarrassed about too bad, but about the times that God has used different things in our lives to refine us. And the picture that I have of our marriage is when God, that analogy in the scripture about the potter's wheel, and he takes these lumps of clay, and he starts molding them and shaping them into being the vessel that he wants us to be. And for marriage, the goal is to become one. He takes these two lumps of clay, and he starts trying to, you know, mold them and make them into one. And along the way, you know, things, you know, we go through the fire, we break, we try again, we get back on the wheel. But God's always at work. So we're not finished yet with our story. But I have to say that I am very thankful. Thank you. That we are where we are right now, that these are good years for us because we have made an investment in our marriage, and God's been so faithful to us. So hopefully you can glean some encouragement from some of our story this morning.
Yes. So we're calling this Real Relationships That Really Work, and we want you to know our relationship really does work. But we're going to be very real with you today. The reason our relationship works is because we've worked real hard at it. It's not because we're pastors and somehow pastors have this great formula for marriage, or, you know, we're specially anointed to be wonderful spouses. Now, we have a good marriage because we've worked really hard at it over the years. So we're going to tell some stories. Honestly, I'm going to tell some stories about myself that are going to make you wonder if you want to keep going to church here or not. So you're looking at a guy this morning, you're looking at a guy that completely forgot our first anniversary. Just say it up front, all right? Completely forgot, just got busy doing things. I didn't understand how important anniversaries were. I will guarantee you I never forgot another one, but I forgot absolutely the first one. So So what we're going to do this morning is we've written a series of questions, and these questions reflect questions that we've been asked over the years by married couples or people preparing for marriage. And so we're going to both respond to these. So the first question is this: when did you know that Janice was the one? When did you know? Well, I knew right away the first time I met her. And Janice and I met when we were students at Northwest University. I was a sophomore and Janice was a freshman, even though she had actually been in school longer than me there because I was a transfer student. And so I was new to the school. I had a friend that had grown up in the same church as me that was telling me about this person she really wanted me to meet. And but I didn't know who it was. And so one night after a basketball game, college basketball game, I was with some friends of mine in the women's dorm commons area, and it was Valentine's Day. And so I was there with my buddies, and they were selling goodies and things like that. And Janice walks in. She had just gotten off work. And she walks in, and she buys an entire tray of cupcakes.
They were only like a nickel a piece, okay?
Yeah.
So it was no
she bought deal. The whole tray, and then she just went around and gave them all out to people. And I thought, that is a really nice girl. I think I'd like to meet her. And lo and behold, Janice is the one my friend had been telling me about. And so we met that night, and I knew right away. But I will say, Janice did not know right away. Took her a little convincing.
Yeah. It took me a while to figure it out. I always knew that I liked him. He was a great guy. I mean, he was a lot of fun. He had a heart after God. He was, I thought he was a good-looking guy. And, I mean, I just knew that he wants me to, okay, step forward here. He was a good friend. We just had a lot of fun together. We were both a little competitive. We took a couple classes together, and my goal was to get a better grade than him, but he always got that A. Oh, anyway, but he was smart, and so all these different things. So I knew I really liked him, but it took me a while to really come to make the decision that this was the man that I would spend the rest of my life with, that I really loved. I think it's really important, and I'm really grateful that we marry someone who truly is our best friend, and it's built on that foundation. That goes a long ways. As we dated for a couple years, it did become clear to me that he was the one that God had put into my life to share life's journey with. And a key verse for me was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I think you probably, most of you have it memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And so to really bring that relationship before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I trust you, and I really want to know your voice. And I was kind of looking, like Tim said, how did you know he was the one? That was like kind of in my brain, like, Lord, is this the one? You know, how am I going to know? And I remember asking my mom and dad, how do I know that I know that I know that he's the one? I mean, this is only one. And it was so important to me that I really kind of, I just really agonized over it at times. But then my dad was like, you'll know. That's really helpful, isn't it? You'll know. Well, I did know as I really did pray about it, and Tim and I knew that God had brought us together, even though we came from such different backgrounds and stories, and we're going to share about that a little bit.
So that's our next question.
Yes.
Yes. How did your different backgrounds impact your relationship, and how did you learn to adjust to one another?
Yes.
I'll let you go first.
Okay, well, this really was a biggie for me, and that's kind of why it took me a while to really come to the conclusion that Tim was the one. I grew up in a home that some of my friends, they said, oh, you guys are like the Leave It to Beaver family. And if you know what that old show is, you know, it was a very, you know, orderly, disciplined, traditional, conservative home. My dad was my hero. He was my counselor. My mom just modeled what it meant to be a godly wife and mother. She sewed our clothes. She made homemade meals. We ate dinner together every night. We went to church every Sunday night and Wednesday. Life was very predictable It was very safe, and really it was kind of a bubble, but it was a good bubble. And some people say, oh, you just don't know. Well, I didn't know, because I lived in a very protected home, and I'm very grateful for that. But it also made it a little bit difficult for me to understand someone that came from such a different background. So how about you? How was it different for you?
Just the opposite of all of that was my household. Very dysfunctional home. We didn't live in the ghetto, but it was a short walk to the ghetto. And my father was an alcoholic. Our family was very disorderly. There wasn't very much structure in our home. I do want to say this, though, that my parents did stay together. And I thank the Lord for that, because when I was 19, my mom and dad found the Lord, and God transformed their lives. And my mom, to this day, is my hero. I'm the oldest of six kids, and so my mom was raising six kids, and she worked full-time. So my mom would work the night shift, graveyard shift at the hospital. She'd work all night long, come home, finish getting us ready for school in the morning, and then catch a little bit of sleep before we'd come back after school, come back home, and then get dinner ready for us in the evening. So my family was quite different. And there were a lot of things about marriage and family, honestly, they just weren't modeled for me. I just didn't know. Honestly, that first anniversary, I didn't know that it was important to you. You might think, well, that's weird, but I didn't know that it was important, really important, to celebrate anniversaries. We had a lot of differences when it came to communication. Janice's family was, they talked a lot, shared a lot. It's all women in Janice's family. She's the oldest of three girls, and all of the cousins are girls too. So there's no boys at all. My family, where there was five boys and one girl, the entire structure was different. And so in my family, you didn't talk a lot. We didn't communicate very much. In Janice's family, they communicated a lot. So one of our first fights, our very first fight, was actually on our honeymoon. And it was like day seven of the honeymoon.
Which was too long.
And you know how it is. We've been dating for 2.5 years, but when you're with each other 24/7, it's a different dynamic all of a sudden. So we're on day seven of the honeymoon, and we're driving. We got kind of a long driving day this day, and I'm driving, and Janice is talking and talking and talking and asking me questions, asking me what I think. What I'm thinking of. Nobody asked me what I was thinking before in my life. And so I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, we've been together for 7 days. I got nothing else to talk about. What else is there? We've covered everything. And I finally said, look, you're just going to have to stop talking. Well, she
How'd
did.
That work for you?
She did. It was very quiet for about the next hour, and then finally, you know, I realized I probably shouldn't have said it that way, and apologized to her, and then another thing is birth order. That can be really a big dynamic. We are both the oldest. She's the oldest of three. I'm the oldest of six. And typically the oldest, we like to make the decisions. So you put two people together. Both of us are used to being the decision makers in our with our siblings. And so that created for some interesting times as well.
Sure yeah. did.
Yes. So
I'm biting my tongue. I have some more stories.
What were the biggest challenges you have faced in your relationship?
Okay,
you can go first.
Thank you. So probably for me, it was expectations, unrealistic expectations. I just assumed naively that my husband would probably be the same way that I saw my dad with my mom, that he would do all these little things that my dad did that I hardly gave any thought to. One thing, like I mentioned, is that every Sunday, before we went to church, my mom would get up and put the pot roast in the you know, the pan and with the potatoes and carrots and put it in the oven on time bake. And we'd come home from church and the table would be set and we'd all enjoy a nice Sunday lunch or dinner, as we called it, together. Well, we got married and first Sunday, I think it was, over in Grandview, and I got that pot roast out, put it in the oven, came home from church, had the table set. I sat down, just missing one thing, my husband. Well, he had already gotten a plate, and he was watching the football game on TV.
That's what we did.
Hello?
That's how we rolled.
Honey, dinner's ready. You can come to the table now. Oh, I already got my food. Don't worry about it. No. I mean, we're having dinner at the table. I mean, this is just, of course we're doing this. I got so mad. I mean, he wasn't budging. He was going to watch that game. There was no, what do you call it now? You know, the
DVR.
DVR, yeah. Thank goodness.
DVR was, saved our marriage.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Talk about working through some issues. I had that kitchen towel in my hand. I kind of started going. And before I knew it, that towel was probably on his lap.
Yeah.
I was so
mad.
She
threw it at me.
And what that showed me was that I had some things to work through. I had some unrealistic expectations that we had not talked about, that I assumed, and that I had some anger issues that I was unaware of, too, to be honest, right? It kind of, marriage.
No.
No, thank you. But no, marriage, doesn't marriage, it does bring some things to the surface, though, that you did not even realize that you had to deal with. So that was one of the challenges for me. It taught me that I needed to major on the major things and not on the minor things. This might seem really silly to you, but my mom, I don't even know how she does this, but like the laundry is folded perfectly. Like, I can't even do it the way she does it. And she does it quickly, and it's just, and the closets are organized, everything's just perfect. Well, I'm not quite perfect, but I do like my bath towels folded in thirds. And Tim hung up his towel, but they were in half. And that was a problem for me. I know, right? It's a little silly. But that little thing every morning, is like, I gotta fold that towel again. And it just kind of started irking me that he could not get it, that we fold the towels in thirds. Let me tell you know something? Isn't that a minor thing?
Yeah.
But if you don't take care of sometimes some of those little issues and just within yourself, let it go. If it's that important to you, go over there and refold the towel. Do not let it become something that builds up and becomes a wall in your relationship. And sometimes when you talk to couples, you're like, well, tell me what's going on. They can't even put it into words because it's all these little things that have built up over the years that they haven't resolved or they haven't learned to just let it go. And that was something that was a challenge for me, but it also has been such a good thing because I know I'm not as controlling as I used to be or... Yeah, I've let go of some things that were not important.
One of the expectations, too, just things that you don't even think about talking about, but Janice's dad was absolutely a perfectionist when it came to shining shoes. So every Saturday night, he got everybody's shoes out and shined them for church the next day. Not just his, the entire family. I remember times going over to Janice's house and visiting with the family, and it would drive Wilbur crazy. He'd be looking at my shoes, and he'd go, hey, Tim, you want me to shine your shoes for you? I mean, literally, it was a big deal to him. So Janice just thought, that's what I was going to do. It honestly didn't even cross my mind. I might shine my own shoes. I wasn't going to shine anybody else's shoes. and so we've adjusted.
Yes. Yeah, they have those cute little sponges you just...
Yeah, with, so you can do them easier now.
Do it myself.
Yes. Okay. Let's turn the corner here a little bit.
Yes,
what is the glue that has held your relationship together over the years? So I'm happy to be able to say, not only have we survived all of those things, but we've had a very, very happy marriage. We have a very good marriage because we've worked on it. And there have been certain things that the Lord has helped us put into order in our lives that have helped us with our relationship. And so the first thing is it's all starts with the Lord. It starts with God. That God had to be number one for both of us. That our marriage is important, but our relationship with the Lord is even more important than that. So as we get closer to the Lord, we become more like the kind of spouse that God wants us to be for our spouse. If you go back and read the creation story, you see that God created Adam first, and then he created Eve, and then Adam and Eve together had a family. They had children. And I believe that that is a divine order. Adam's first relationship was with God. His second relationship was with his wife, Eve, and his third relationship was with his children. Okay? First relationship was with God, second relationship was with Eve, third relationship was with children. And that's the order our life has to be built in. That if I'm going to be a good husband, then first of all, my relationship with God has to be solid. Because it's God that helps me have the character that it takes to be a good husband. And then comes my relationship with my wife, and then comes our relationship with our children. And that part of the order is important too, because we've seen over the years so many couples that, our children mean a lot to us, and it's important to raise them well, and we do a lot of things with them. But if the relationship starts revolving all around the kids, we can begin to neglect the marriage. And one of the greatest gifts that we can give our children is the example of a good marriage. I've seen couples in my life that once the kids have moved out, the husband and wife have looked at each other and went, "Who are you?" Right? Because they've lost that relationship with one another. So that order is so important. God first, then your spouse, and then the children.
Yeah, that's good. Yes. So what's the glue that's held us together? Well, I'm just going to say a couple things, I think, because we haven't touched on this yet. But having fun together, intentionally planning things to just have fun. At our home, while our kids were growing up, anything that we could find to celebrate, we would celebrate. We have one of those red plates, you know, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be that. But, you know, if they got an A on a test or if they, whatever it was, we would try to find reasons to celebrate and have fun together. And we celebrated the birthdays and the holidays and just would do different things, not necessarily that required a lot of money, but it was just being intentional about let's have fun together. Let's play practical jokes on each other to an extent. Let's make memories. And to this day, our kids, I can say, they all like to have fun. And that's important to me, that they were kids that were not only that knew the Lord, but they knew how to enjoy life and the gifts that God's given to us. Mm-hmm. And now kind of turn the page a little bit. I remember times in these past 35 years and with our marriage that when there were times that we just could not, we were kind of just like in survival mode as far as our marriage. We could not communicate clearly for the life of us. I mean, we were not on the same page. We would just get upset with each other for no really apparent reason, usually on Saturday nights, you know, a lot of times. And It got to be like, what is going on? And, you know, we realized, wait a minute, we are in a spiritual battle. And being in the ministry, some people are like, oh, it must be nice being married to the pastor. Well, it is nice being married to him. But I'll tell you what, we also have a target on us. And if there's a marriage that the enemy would want to come against and destroy, it would be this marriage. And he's done a good job sometimes at attacking us and us giving into it. And I remember one night specifically about probably 20-some years ago, and it was we had a difficult time, and I was just at my wit's end, and I went into our bedroom and shut the door, and it was just me, and I just started crying, and then I was just crying out to God, like, God, help me. I don't know what else to do. I want to be the wife you want me to be, but this isn't working. And I just started just really praying, and then all of a sudden I just remember that it kind of, my spirit just turned, and it was like, wait a minute. This is the enemy. This is the enemy at work in our home right now. And just something arose up within me, and I just started taking back what the enemy was trying to take from us. Mm-hmm. Satan, you have no place in this marriage. We belong to you. Our marriage belongs to you. Our home belongs to you. Lord, we gave our children to you. And just the spiritual warfare that I just started to take part in, and I just it just kind of gave me the strength then and the wisdom to see it for what it was, that it wasn't just two people that were just trying to get along and were failing at it miserably, but it was a spiritual battle in our home. Mm-hmm. And I think just having that, I mean, I knew about it, but but to really have your eyes opened to it and come and be able to pray against it was really a powerful thing in our marriage. And recognizing that if there was a marriage that Satan wanted to destroy, it was our marriage, mm-hmm. and our children's lives. And he doesn't have that power over us. Amen. We have the Spirit of God to help us. Yeah. So I thank God that we can stand here today, not because, well, we have it all figured out and here's the five easy steps. No, but we can say God is faithful, mm-hmm. that whatever we give to him, he blesses. So when we give our marriages to him and we surrender, I mean, the best, this may sound a little corny, but I believe this, the best marriage counseling you can get is when you're down at the altar praying, and God's changing your heart.
Yeah.
Because we can't change each other. And that was something I tried for a long time to do. If I could just get him to do this or that, or how come he doesn't? But when I let go of that and I said, Lord, change me. I mean, help me to love like you love and to accept like you love. That's when things started changing. So I'm thankful for God's faithfulness.
Yeah.
Amen.
All right, we got one last one. If you could do one thing differently, what would it be? Kind of an incomplete question, because obviously over 35 years, you start doing a lot of things differently than when you first started. But if we could focus on one, and for me, this was a huge one. For me, looking back on it, the one thing I would do differently is I would be more open. I'd be more open. One of the results of being in a dysfunctional family where there's alcoholism is you learn to just kind of cover things over. You don't talk about them. You don't deal with them. And that's how I was. I couldn't have described it at the time. I thought when I first got married, if you asked me, are you an open person, I would say, I'm an open book, right? But I wasn't really. And it's kind of like peeling away the layers of an onion. That's what the Lord had to do in my life over the years. I had to learn to trust more and be more and more open. One of the things that complicated our marriage early on was the fact that we were pastors. We were in the ministry. And back then, Pentecostal churches, I'm thankful that a lot has changed in the last 35 years in Pentecostal churches. But when we first got married, a lot of Pentecostal churches were very legalistic. And pastors would never admit if they were struggling with anything, because people would judge you pretty harshly. So when we were first married, Janice and I, we didn't feel like there was anybody we could talk to. When you're struggling in your marriage, you really don't want to talk to your parents. At least we didn't. And we didn't feel like, you know, we could trust people in the church, to be honest. Even our pastor, he was a good man, really. But we felt like, oh, we can't talk about this. And so there were a lot of several years there where we probably could have really benefited by being more open. And then me specifically, I had walls up that I didn't know that I didn't understand existed. And so if I could change one thing, looking back, is I would be just a lot more open and honest about my feelings. I'd let those walls down. I would be more tender. There wasn't a lot of tenderness in my family growing up, so my words were not very tender at all. And it wasn't that I would be really, you know, yelling at Janice or cussing at her or anything like that. It's just that I was kind of rough. And I didn't understand that, man, I'm married to someone who's got a very tender heart that grew up in a very tender home. She's not used to talking this rough like I was. And so for me, it would be like just letting those walls down and being more trusting.
And I would appreciate the differences that we brought to our marriage. Like I kind of alluded to, that I kind of wanted to change some things. You know, I kind of saw him as a little diamond in the rough, and my job was to just, you know, smooth those edges. But that wasn't my job. My job was to love him and support him and encourage him to be all that God had called him to do. And through the years, we've definitely have seen how God has used both of our backgrounds and our personalities and things that are important to us to really for our benefit, and that our differences has become our strengths.
Yeah.
And it's taken a while, but it's good. It's good. And I'll just say this. I would marry Tim all over again. I probably wouldn't take 2 years. I would say yes sooner, okay? Just say that, okay.
You want to read that?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 13.
Yes, okay, yes. So what marriage has taught me about myself is that I needed the help of God to make this work. And I grew up in missionettes, and one of the missionettes things, which is great for all kids, is to memorize scripture. And one of the scriptures I memorized at a young age was 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And these are such powerful words. And when you make it your prayer, I mean, I can't say that I've attained all this by any means, but this has been the goal of our marriage. And I just want to read it to you and encourage you to, as a couple or just as a single person, because God tells us to love. And so we need his help, his supernatural help to do that. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, and it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, and it's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. Love never fails. So that's my prayer, is that our marriage would be a reflection of God's love, and that we would be all that he intended us to be as he continues to mold us on that potter's wheel. Amen?
Yes.
Yes.
And I'll say, I thank God for the wife he gave me, for sure. We want to, Janice and I want to take a minute to pray for everybody, but we're going to pray a specific prayer for the married couples that are here today. If you're married, if you're engaged to be married, if you're sitting next to your boyfriend or girlfriend, we want to pray for you. And Janice is going to pray a prayer over all the ladies, and then I'm going to pray for all the dudes. So